How I paid to play D&D and failed. I've been spending some time looking for smaller D&D YouTubers because some of them have really awesome content despite low sub view counts. Imagine my delight when I found a channel giving really good D&D advice and the guy who ran it was a paid DM for a tabletop MMORPG with thousands of players. He had about a half a dozen videos pitching this game, which he emphasized was all about forging a legacy and making player choice matter. He showed off some cool art in their high production quality VTT sessions and talked about raid style one-shots and one-on-one roleplay. Sounds awesome, I thought. Basically, a West Marches server with some extra perks, and I'm lucky enough to have some disposable income. As a forever DM, I'm happy to spend a bit of cash to have a really good experience as a player. I clicked the link under one of his videos, which led me to a ClickFunnel website. The same kind of thing you see from alpha male influencers trying hard to sell their testosterone supplements. Kinda sus. But whatever. Not everyone has the web design skills to make their own website. I clicked through all the pages until I got to the pricing tiers, $37 and $62 a month, with the latter tier requiring an interview. Or, sorry, did I say per month? I faked you out, dear listener, because that's what I thought too. But no, it's $37 a week. Almost $150 a month to play D&D. But what the heck? There's a 2-week free trial. I may as well try it out, I thought. So I put my credit card info and clicked through the Discord. It took me over a day to get set up because their signup bot was broken. They had me fill out several forms, most of which were duplicate information, like entering email, Discord username, and pronouns on each one, and some of which referred to Patreon, which they apparently don't use anymore. Everything was managed through an Asharian network of Discord bots and channel access roles. There were buttons that were marked DM only that players could absolutely press, and security amounted to the head DM constantly reminding staff not to mention secret things in channels that players could see. I was then pulled into a session zero with a player manager, where I was informed they use a 3-tier system where players at lower tiers get bronze tokens and players at higher tiers get silver and gold tokens, which can be used to kick other players out of games. For example, if a session is full of bronze token players, a gold token player can bump one of them out in order to skip the line and play. With my $37 a week tier, I'd get 4 bronze tokens a month. There was also a shop channel where a bot would post every day, reminding me I could get extra bronze tokens for just another $25, or a gold token for just $50. There were only a few quests available, almost all full, and most times I couldn't make anyway since I have a 9-to-5 job and 2 home games. I eventually found a TC, or a traditional campaign, not a West Marches quest, to join that said it would meet weekly at a time I could attend. I read through dozens of pages of homebrew, made a VTT token, set up my D&D Beyond, made a character, and waited expectantly as almost a week, or half of my free trial, went by. I was really hyped. In this world of wild homebrew, I'd made a human wizard who was seeking to understand the mysteries of the universe. I thought it'd be neat to roleplay with all the weird and wacky custom race characters and Magitek weapon wielders. I even wrote a backstory that tied in with some recently added lore. Imagine my disappointment when I logged into Discord on game day to find that my DM wasn't there. Nor were any of the other players. I joined an active VC thinking I might have misread the names, only to discover that it was for another game. Okay, well, maybe I'm just early. So I waited. And waited. And waited. The scheduled session time came and went. Nobody showed up. Eventually, my player manager told me that just being part of the campaign wasn't enough. The DM had to also make a quest board post, and all the players had to put tokens in. Since that hadn't happened, the game wouldn't be starting this week. Meaning, I wouldn't get to play at all during my free trial. Of course, I canceled immediately, and I was kicked from the Discord before I was able to give any feedback. I'm pretty unhappy about it, but at least I didn't get charged any money. I feel bad for all the folks who subscribe for $140 a month and just get kicked out of the one session they can make each week by someone paying twice that. Paying to play a game doesn't sound like a bad idea. You expect a certain level of professionalism and expertise, of course, if you actually ever get to play said game. But imagine how terrible it can be from the perspective of the paid DM. Here is a taste from a professional DM and the things you can expect if you're thinking about rolling the dice on this side hustle. Spoiler, they're almost all horror stories. If I didn't run two of my own casual games, free for my friends and family, I would hate tabletop role-playing. Essentially, you pay, you play to have fun, whatever that fun looks like. My goal is just to make sure that the group all has fun at the same time, so nobody is hurt by PvP actions or player-to-player conflicts, including moralistic. So far, it's usually groups of friends that hire me. I have had the worst gore portrayed through violence. NPCs that are women, children, kings, trolls, orcs, everything. One player had their human character do unspeakable things to a pixie, peel her flesh, ground the bones into a powder, which required supernatural means of drying the bones, so that he could alchemically create an aphrodisiac and sell it to highly emotional races. He started with gnomes, the rest of the party enjoyed the income, and they became pirates. Another character in another campaign so that my version of trolls are extremely regenerative. Chop a finger off, two trolls in hours. Fire is the only way to kill them. One character essentially played Skullduggery Pleasant, a young adult fictional character who is a skeleton elementalist gunslinger. The party chopped a troll into pieces, after distracting it by throwing kobold in its path. Of course, the kobolds had their own fight club at the time, so the troll was enjoying the kobold fight club. The party then put the pieces over the top of Skullduggery and allowed it to grow into a troll with Skullduggery inside, like an Iron Man suit made out of troll. The troll brain was burned with elemental magic to coerce action out of it. This was horrific. They stopped a war by launching Trollduggery into hordes of tribal people to stop them from raiding other towns for resources. Much killing, very wow. The troll eventually threatened to merge with Skullduggery, and so they extracted him, and then let the troll go. Unfortunately, the troll had merged enough with the elementalist to make it immune to the elements. Yep. All of my games share a universe. I only change the timeline to match the genre. I have enough continents in my own world that types and genres can work. I also work with a subrealm called the Veil, which merges universes together should one group wish to play a game that does not fit my universe at all. Each game I run after, no matter with who, is affected by the group's actions. That is a huge appeal that their playstyles are in a sense immortalized as I adopt it into historical lore. I have a clause that states no player can rape another, nor force them against their will to do something that they do not want to do. However, I have a keen appreciation of what Murder Hobo is as a playstyle. I have had players form businesses in the drug trade, slavery, gun running, weapons trafficking, prostitution, you name it. Players start with fantasy, steampunk, sci-fi, or whatever, and it goes well. Then one player finds something they like and want to keep, even if it's not theirs, or they want to do something because they can. In any other game, I would likely sit down with the players and together define what type of game they and I want to play. But being paid throws my opinion out the window. I could go on. I don't design stories this way, but I believe in the freedom role-playing enables and encourages the sandbox effect for paid games. There are some amazing moments too, but most of them get lost in a sea of debauchery, horror, and tragedy. All in the name of fun. Do you think you have the stomach to be a paid DM? What are your thoughts on paying to play D&D? Would you do it? Tell me what you think in a comment down below. Before we take our leave, don't forget to subscribe to our channel, All Things D&D. Stay tuned for more amazing Dungeons & Dragons content every week.